praise you, Father, for looking out for us so well, Father, that you, but how humbling to know that the creator of the entire universe created this all for us. How can it be that you could love us so much to create all this and love us so much to send your son and die for us, Father? How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Father, we just praise you and we thank you. We love you. Holy is the name of the Lord God. We cry out praises to your name, Father. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Thanks so much, Chris. Thank you so much. We have an opportunity for a few minutes of question and answer, but during this time also, we're going to receive a free will offering. The free will offering gifts help us just give a little honorarium to the speakers that comes from the gifts here, but also from some of the book sales. So thank you, gentlemen, for caring for that. Questions? Anybody? For Chris? Bring the microphone to you.
I told you it was going to be a lot of information, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get this down. The 1994 PBS Nova series, what was it called?
Let me see if I can pull it back up. I thought it was In Search of Man, but I don't want to.
Yeah, In Search of Something.
There it is. Yeah, In Search of Human Origins, Dr. Okay. Owen Lovejoy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm curious if anybody has, in like the creation research group, has redone the March of Man, positioning the first upright walking apes in their proper knuckle walking position.
That would be interesting. It's been reproduced so many times, I don't know why we haven't, but I haven't seen one. But yeah, wouldn't take much for an artist to come in and modify one of these. I mean, if you can make them for that kind of stuff, I guess you can pretty easily modify them. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Anybody else?
So on the migratory map you had, mm-hmm. those figures, were those years or mutations?
Those are their figures.
Those are years.
So yeah, okay. Those are their figures. A lot of it based on assumptions, right. Rather than. A lot of it was based on assumed mutation rates of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondria are believed to be very, very stable, not right. Because there's no recombination, so the genome is transferred from mother to daughter, mother to son, intact. But later, another study was done that showed that the mutation rates in mitochondria were much higher than previously thought. And that revision, now revealing this much higher mutation rate, shrunk these dates down to just within a few thousand years. So
I see the rate bottom right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. But that was based on an assumed mutation rate that was later shown to be significantly wrong. So a lot of assumptions go into these kind of things. But it is interesting to a point that points out that migratory path, that where it originates from, right there where the Tower of Babel was. Very interesting.
Thank you very much. It was very interesting. I'm wondering, I'm kind of curious if what your students, high school students, how do they respond to this? I'm sure a lot of them have been spending time in public schools all their time.
Most of my students have been in Christian school their entire lives. So, but even then, you're not going to really get these kind of teachings. Even in a Christian school, there are very few teachers that are really equipped to be able to digest and properly explain these things. So, but they have them. So, yeah, they've seen most of these presentations. I try to integrate as many of them as I can into the classrooms. Otherwise, then I give them extra credit for attending these kind of things when I'm doing lectures. It's amazing what you get kids do when you give them extra credit. You know? Especially when you teach classes like I teach biology, chemistry, human anatomy, physiology, and then either biotechnology or creation apologetics. So, you know, chemistry, human AMP, those are tough subjects, you know. You can get some people to come out to lectures when you teach chemistry, you know. So, yeah, I'm pretty good at that kind of stuff. But no, it's awesome to, you know, of course, at Christian schools, we don't make near the money they do in public schools, but it's an important, I consider myself a missionary, teaching at a Christian school. These are very important. The church today must be involved in education. It's by pulling out of education, allowing a secular minority of our country take over these important institutions. You know, studies have shown all the way back to like 1916 that 90% of the population of the U.S. believes in God. 90%. How is it that we live in a country where even today, I mean, surveys as of today will say 91 to 92% of the population believe in God. How is it we live in a country where 90% of the people believe in God and we can't teach about God in our public schools? That a minority was able to come in and take over these important institutions and kick us out of the country that our founding fathers laid for us. You know, it's just a terrible thing. But it's by becoming uninvolved and letting someone else just come in that we've managed to give up so much. And it's going to be a hard fight to get it back. But if the church woke up, 90%, you know, and 80% are Christians. 90% believe in God, about 80% are Christians. 80%. There's only a 0.6% are Muslim. 0.6%. 80% are Christians. Yet, how much noise did they make? How much noise could we make if we just woke up and take these things back and start teaching biblical worldview again in our public schools? Wouldn't it be an awesome thing? But the church it's now fallen on the church to try to counter some of these teachings. But it's important. And they spend so little time in the church as opposed to public schools that it's important that the people that are in their life are able to explain these things to them. So that's why we do it. So not just that you understand how to interpret these things from the biblical worldview, but you understand how to teach them. Because our young people are walking away from the church. So there's a mass exodus taking place these days.
Question for you. I probably don't need that.
They're recording it, even if we can hear you, the video camera can't.
I'm fascinated by this chart you have here, as well as the chart that you showed earlier with the years of age of our patriarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about the march of progress. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a chart put together that might show where Adam and Eve started and the branch out from there with the time frame and how that then flowed and the ages and tied together with geographical movement?
The pre-flood world was so significantly destroyed that we have no idea what it looked like then. Just no clue. We don't know where the Garden of Eden was. I mean, there are rivers today that have been named after the rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden, but those are just biblical names, same way we name our kids Esther and, you know, but we have no clue where the Garden of Eden was, what the earth's surface really looked like then, how much of it was actually completely destroyed by the flood. We just really have no clue. Was there one landmass at the flood? That seems to be where that thinking is heading. Most of your creationists view the earth, plate tectonics, the continental drift thing, to have occurred during the global flood. That these broke apart and shifted around those various positions. I've always kind of remained skeptical about it, but last year I organized a creation conference once a year called the Seattle Creation Conference. Been doing it since like 2004, and last year we had Kurt Weiss come and speak, and a talk that he did at a luncheon. We had I usually have one of the speakers do a luncheon at some point, more in an informal thing, and he did a talk on catastrophic plate tectonics, which I didn't record it. I didn't bring my video camera. But his argument for the amount of data that was best explained through that model was very compelling. It was one of the most compelling arguments for it that I had seen. But I didn't record it. You know, we record all of our talks, same way you do here. So if you go onto our website, you can find all the videos from all the past creation conferences we've been organizing since 2004, every year. So approximately 8 seminars at each of the conferences each year. This year it's going to take place in at Cedar Park's Church in Bothell, September 25th and 26th. Michael Ord, Taz Walker from Australia will be there. Thomas Kendall, who's also just a fantastic speaker. I've had him speak several times, and I will give at least one seminar myself. But if you want more videos, tons of videos, I put almost every talk that I do give has been recorded at some point and is on the web. So this one is on there too. Otherwise, it's usually an earlier version, not quite as with some of the information I presented tonight missing from that. But you can find them there. I also put all my PowerPoints on the website. So it might not be this current version, but I update them each year. I upload new versions each year. So, but you can go in if you wanted to look up a particular slide or find a source for one of those graphics. I try to include all the details right there in my notes of the slide, so you can find sources for all that stuff too. So,
any last question? Yes.
I'm curious whether or not you've looked at how the Nephilim findings, how they fit into the whole.
No.
Probably expect that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
how
no.
How would that fit in?
But yeah. So the Nephilim were, if you don't know what the Nephilim are, or whether that's even pronunciated correctly, I don't even know. But that's how we hear it. If you go back and review Genesis 6-9, where Jesus says, God says he's going to destroy the world by flood, just before he says, I'm going to destroy the world by flood, the Nephilim are mentioned. And it says, the sons of God found the daughters of men and found them beautiful. They were the heroes of old, the men of renown. But it was there. It appears from the reading that it was their impact on humanity that was one of the main reasons why God had to destroy the world by flood. And they're commonly interpreted, as being the offspring of fallen angels and earthly women. That during the earth in those days there were, and you can point to other biblical areas where angels took on real mortal form. The angels ate with Abraham and Sarah. They ate as well, and they got down to Sodom and Gomorrah. They apparently were fairly physical there as well. So, at least in one passage, it's said that it says the Nephilim were on earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God saw the daughters of men and found them beautiful. But it's saying that just before the flood. So it says the Nephilim are on the earth in those days and also afterwards. And then Genesis 6, I'm going to destroy the world by flood. Boom. The mentioning of afterwards right there strongly suggests that they were on the earth after the flood also. There was that stuff that was still going on then, or whether any of Noah's sons' wives were in the line of the Nephilim, we don't know. But it's an interesting subject. If you don't, I've never heard of the Nephilim or going to look that up, there's some interesting stuff there. What is the Book of Enoch? One of the apocryphal books, Book of Enoch, goes into detail on the Nephilim. And Enoch was apparently serving as an intermediary with the Nephilim and God, trying to work out some of that or something. Anyways, there's interesting stuff there.
There was one other hand. Maybe we'll just wrap up with that. Somebody back here?
You always, whenever you watch any kind of nature show or anything, you always get the millions of years and the age of the earth, like 7 billion or something now.
4.6. Earth is believed to be 4.6. The universe, 3.7.
So could you say something about how do they arrive at all this stuff and state it like they know something?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, of course, the view that the Earth was really old comes from an interpretation of the fossil record. The fossil record is interpreted one of two ways. Either it's a result of a catastrophic event that laid down these layers of rocks really rapidly, or those layers of rocks formed slowly and gradually.